comics and games to movies and TV. This is The Nerd Show on 1310 KFKA. Nerd Rage. Nerd Rage. Now here are the nerds.
Nerds, you're listening to The Nerd Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA here in the Aloe Fiber Studios in downtown Greeley, Colorado. We've got Scott, Micah, and Nick to guide you through the nerdiest hour of your week.
Darth Monger.
Darth Ambivalous.
Darth Harmonic.
And there's Nick with his pinky out, sipping his wine and feeling very formal. And then there's Micah with a really bad timing on that little soundbite.
Yeah, I heard some silence and I'm like, well, were you going to say AKA?
I thought about it. And then I was like, well, maybe this silence is too long. And then I was like, maybe I should say something. You know, it happened.
Why are you so petrified of silence?
Me? Because we're on the radio.
Oh, that's right. I was quoting Alanis Morissette.
Ah.
Who's Alanis Morissette?
You seriously don't know who Alanis Morissette
is? Okay. I can't tell you what any of her songs are. I know she's an artist.
She
that
is.
That does the music.
The music. Wow, we've had an epic week of nerddom that we cannot wait to dive in. You know what? We're going to just dedicate the first two segments to the season finale of The Last of Us, of which now I can finally understand what the big controversy is that's been hyped up on so many, well, platforms.
Wait, what's the big controversy?
We'll get there, Micah. But everyone teased about it, but I'm glad I didn't have any spoilers for the people who've played the game, because I guess it happened just almost to a T. But we fast forward a few months, but they didn't say that in the opening scene like they did a few weeks ago with the winter. But meant to believe it's springtime now, especially in Salt Lake with the greenery and not the snow that we had after last week's episode.
Right, and you even saw that in the mountains behind Salt Lake City. I mean, you get that sense. So they visually gave you an indication of where we were in the storyline and how long it's been. So I enjoyed that.
Oops. Oh, yeah. There was an opening sequence, too.
Oh, yeah.
Kinda
you forgot about
that.
Which? Go ahead.
You got excited about the probably the biggest Easter egg of this year's of season.
Well, they keep doing this, and I absolutely love it. So the actress who plays Ellie in the game is Anna.
Mm-hmm.
She was Ellie's mom in that, and it was just crazy how they did that. And again, because I don't play the game, I saw that. But then I'm like, my gosh, that looks like her. It so looked like Ellie. And I'm like, from the moment that it started, I'm like, oh, that's Ellie's mom.
Oh,
this is how this starts. We're seeing Ellie's origin story.
Well, from the moment I saw the pregnancy, I'm like, yeah, that's got to be Ellie.
Yeah.
Well, somebody said it on Twitter the other night, which was awesome, of she birthed Ellie in the game and then birthed Ellie in the TV series.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think these creators are just brilliant. One with the story that we got this year, which I mean, was phenomenal, and there's so many meanings to it all. Just loved it and gobbled it up. But also how they're bringing back so many characters, you know, kind of in a sense. I mean, Tommy voiced Joel in the game. You had Marlene, who was the only character who voiced Marlene in the game, like voiced a character in the game
and played
was
that same character.
The character.
Yep.
But yeah,
well, there was another guy.
Well, there was one of the militia guys who had played a character.
Was it Kansas City?
Yeah, in Kansas City. And maybe he played his same character.
Yeah,
but
I think he was that same guy.
Could be.
Stunt double number two?
No, he had head of the militia.
Lines. Oh.
Yeah, the guy with the long beard. And
oh, that remember. Guy, yeah, who was working with Kathleen. Yeah, mm-hmm. he was
and then he died.
And then he died, yes.
But wow, what a powerful opening sequence with just her fight for her life, running away from, you thought there'd be a horde of
Infected.
Not just the one, but wow, what a sequence.
Yeah.
And to see that knife, you knew at the night, oh, if you didn't already know, it was Ellie's mom. That knife gave
it away. Yeah, that knife gave it away. And then when you see her get bit, and then she immediately cuts the umbilical cord. And, you know, I gasped when, you know, she's like, you need to kill me. And she's like, I can't do that. Mm-hmm. You have to. And then she walks out of the room and she gives the kid, you know, she gives Ellie to that other person and then just says, hold her.
Cover her ears.
And then as she's walking back in the room and she says, cover her ears, you're like, oh my gosh, she is going to seriously do that. And then I thought almost shot for shot, moment for moment, it was identical to the way Kathleen executed the doctor in Kansas City.
Oh, he just walked in.
He just walked in and boom. And obviously the emotions in that were very different. But I was just like, that was ruthless and cold. And I think that that foreshadows what is coming and what Marlene is willing to do.
Marlene. That's right.
To save the human race. And Joel's getting caught up in it.
I can't wait to talk about that probably in the next segment. But I didn't see it as cold. I saw it as, because she couldn't do it at first. They were friends since childhood. Yeah. And then to realize, I have to do this. I have to. And just, I mean, it was heavy. It was powerful. She cared so much for Anna. But then we fast forward to present day, and Ellie's clearly been affected by the events of the last episode of being assaulted and almost murdered and subsequently eaten.
Well, I was wondering, and it just kind of had this moment of, was the day, that day, her birthday? And it made me wonder if there was something that was causing her to be thoughtful in that regard, and it had to do with it being her birthday. I thought that would have been an interesting way to kind of more formalize why she's being quiet and what she's going through and what she's doing. And again, it's, you know, one of 365 days. We have no clue when her birthday is, but I thought that could have been an interesting tie-in to go, that's why she's so melancholy, because it's that day and she's thinking about what she probably has heard and learned about her birth.
I kind of thought back to, you know, Micah in the first couple episodes. You know, Ellie's not the same person she was when she left Boston. She was a little obnoxious in the first couple episodes, you know, seeing the world for the first time. But you see everything she experienced, from Joel punching the Federer officer to death, for Tess dying for, well, first starting with Riley dying, of course, to Tess, to coming across Frank, even though she didn't know them, to Sam and his older brother, to just, again, last episode almost getting assaulted and then, you know, murdered at the same time and almost losing Joel. She has gone through a whirlwind just to get to the hospital so she can save the world. And that's kind of where I was. At first I thought, I wonder if she remembers that, you know? But then just maybe those whole months getting to Salt Lake, she was just morose and beaten down and wondering, you know, what's this all for?
Yeah, I don't know, because I remember at the very beginning when Joel is yelling at her, he's like, you know, Ellie. And you have this sense that she is deep in thought and it transitions from that opening sequence to that. And so, you know, maybe it might not have been her birthday, but that definitely was on her mind, and it kind of helps set up the rest of the episode. Really well done.
Well, what do you fans think? If that was her birthday or not, or just leading into that amazing kind of full circle of we have the backstory now. Well, then we get to an amazing scene with a giraffe of Ellie coming out of that sadness, that despair, and her giggle was just quaint and cute. And Joel's smile, I mean, that was just I was waiting almost all season for something bad to happen. Anytime there's a moment like that, I'm just so used to it being triggered, and I'm glad they got to complete it. Although then they, you know, start trade. Oh, by the way, we're not going to go with what I asked you all earlier. What's this giraffe's name? Because, of course, Micah responded in typical Micah fashion.
I said nothing but sensitive, kind things.
No, that's not true at all. But I was going to go with Gary.
Gary the giraffe?
Mm-hmm.
What about Jerry?
You could go with Jerry.
Jerry and Gary?
If you really want to have it very, you know, if you want to focus on the alliteration side of things, you could go Jerry the giraffe and you could do that. But I like Gary.
Gary's nice too.
What were you going to name him?
Hank. Hank the giraffe.
Okay.
It's odd.
I thought Micah's was, it was pragmatic.
Oh, it was.
That's actually what I was thinking.
That would be a lot of food.
Lots of animals.
Mm-hmm.
That's really some of the first really live animals we've seen. We've seen a rabbit. We briefly saw a deer, but this was neat to see a exotic animal.
Well, and I was watching the, you know, the
on a baseball field, by the way.
Yep, I love that. And of course, I'm trying to think. It has to be a minor league team or maybe a college team because you know Salt Lake City doesn't have a pro team, but.
Don't they have a university?
They do. They have several universities. So that's why I'm saying it's either a college or a minor league team. But I liked how they talked about that they shot that scene almost shot for shot for the video game. Mm-hmm. And so that there's some elements of that that for the game players out there would really feel nostalgic and at home with and what they're experiencing.
Well, then Joel gets that little the smoke grenade that comes. You see him pivot to save Ellie right as they're telling some puns. I loved the apocalypse pun. That was fantastic. But wait till next segment when we get to talk about that finale and wow, what this does to set up season two. Stay tuned for more of The Nerd Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Nerd Show.
It's called a flashbang.
Flashbang. That was a flashbang.
I don't know if that was the actual terminology, but it wasn't a smoke grenade. It was a
flashbang.
It was a flash grenade. So
yeah. Well, then he gets knocked out, and then we get, again, almost scene for scene from the video game, except something was different. I enjoyed the difference. Well, I didn't play the game, but I liked the poeticism of what happened, but I'll get to that later. Joel wakes up, and there's Marlene.
Yeah.
Didn't think we'd see her again, but after the hospital fell in Colorado, we get to the hospital in Salt Lake, and then, wow, we're hit hard with what they're going to do to Ellie to save the human race. Now, there's controversy. We'll get to that in a second. But no, I'll bring this up later on, too. So Joel's not happy with this, of course. He feels his world crushing down on him again.
Well, and I think we're supposed to see that because he's developed a relationship with this girl.
Oh, after he told her that he had almost killed himself on day two.
Yeah, I mean, that was where he realized. And then makes it so personal when Ellie says, well, mm-hmm. I guess time heals all wounds. And he says it wasn't time. They healed me.
Absolutely. That was powerful.
Yeah.
You know, because he looks right at her. And everyone, if you didn't pick up on it, he's telling her,
you
brought me back.
Well, and she knows it. She recognizes it. And so it's
neither are the people who are going to say it, though. But that's why that's awesome with their relationship.
Yeah. And again, great acting to be able to physically emote what they're not going to say, and you totally get it. You know that they understand. And then when she says to him, you know, after this is done, we'll go wherever you want to go. I will follow you anywhere. And he just is like, I found my person.
He's left with that.
Yeah.
So Joel loses his cool and takes out literally everybody, almost everybody, minus a few.
Which I have a problem with, but we don't need to go there.
Of leaving them alive?
No, I just, you're talking about these fireflies.
Yeah.
Okay, these are individuals that have been, you know, fighting against the military and fighting against Fedra for as long as they've been, you know, alive. And I mean, some of these guys are in their 30s, so it's like from the time that they were early on, they've been doing this for a long, long time. And for Joel to be able to go through and do what he did through the entire, I understand the escape sequence and the stairwell. That makes perfect sense. But I just had a hard time. It took me out of the moment because I felt like it was unrealistic that he would be able to make that type of an ascent and basically get all the way through it. And I get it. It's part of the game. You have to do that to do what he did. But I had a hard time with it going, no. And I know that we're supposed to suspend reality in all of these shows. But for that moment, I just felt like that there was too much, especially when they've made a big point about talking about, you know, you shoot and miss people and you can't always hit things and stuff like that. And for whatever reason, when he's going up through there, he now has 100% accuracy rate. So
he went all God mode.
He did. Totally.
Well, I like how the sound dimmed and we got the opening sequence in full orchestral version, which was different from the game where it's all hyped up and you're just raging through it. I like how they adapted it. And I think what helped me stay in the moment was of him running out of ammo and having to take more ammo and swap out guns, because you don't always get that in the video games. It seems like you're unlimited ammo, and he says that early on. You don't have that. So it was powerful, and I kept expecting him to get hit, not necessarily dying, but it seems they didn't have a lot of fireflies there. Even Marlene says, you know, of the people that came with, only a handful survived.
Well, not any longer.
So Joel finds Ellie.
Now, what they were going to do, weren't they going to, like,
kill her
and they were going to
harvest her brain?
Yeah.
Because
now, I want to know how. Okay, now then we'll get to the discussion. But we've learned from the first episode that there's no cure to cordyceps.
Well, that they know of. They tried that, and I think they did a good job describing it, that because she was
infected
as she was being born, that there was this symbiotic relationship that developed with her brain and the cordyceps, and there was a messenger that told basically all of the infected that she was infected even though she wasn't. And so it was almost came to me like that they were saying, it's sort of like we can, you know, you got your friend or foe kind of stuff in the military. You have these little friend or foe flags that everybody operates. It's almost like, well, we could switch the flag in ourselves and make the infected think that we're friendly so they wouldn't come after us again. That was sort of what I was
tracking. Oh, I understand how she's immune.
Yeah.
I just meant the scientists in the first episode say there's no cure. There's literally no cure to this, and there can never be. And you're saying Ellie is the only person that they've come across who's immune, and they're going to just kill her and harvest her without even knowing if it's going to work?
Yeah.
I thought that was extreme.
Well, it's a desperation move, and I can understand why, because they want to get that cure, and they want to fix the world. I can see why they're doing that. I would not do it if it was an adult. Maybe a kid.
Well, no. If that's the only person you know of, what if it doesn't work? Then you lose your only chance. There wasn't any if they had pre-studies, Joel, of course, wouldn't go with it. But
you didn't know that there was a cure. And how often are you going to come? Like, how many people are born like that?
Well,
not a lot.
Rarely.
Well,
but also, is fireflies good enough to actually use that for good?
I don't know, but I suspect that Marlene knew that Anna had been
bitten,
you know,
before.
She'd been bitten and before she cut the cord, and somehow infant Ellie didn't change. And so I think she knew there was something special about her, and that I think that's why they, you know, tucked her away in the Fedra camp. That's why they did all the stuff. And I think in the second season we may get into a little bit of how they allowed her to go there. And they kept watch on her. And I think that her getting bit in the mall with her friend, Riley, and then her surviving that was the key for them going to get her out. Because it's like, okay, she got bit.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't get infected. She didn't do that. And now they go, okay, now we know for sure. Now we know that there's something with her. Now we're going to get her out. And now we're going to work on that. And nobody else knew her origin story other than Marlene and the Firefly. So I think that was their effort to, we're going to protect this girl. We're going to see what happens. And if she got bit and she would have died, then they wouldn't have worried about it. But they just kept tabs on her enough to know that she could be special. We're going to see what happens with it and run with it. And so
Marlene puts her in the trust of two scoundrels instead of a whole Firefly army?
She needed a smuggler. I mean, you heard her when they tried to get from Boston to Salt Lake City.
And she said in this episode, he's the only one that she never wanted to cross.
Wanted to owe somebody.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and then look at what happened.
Yeah.
She owes him, and...
And now she's dead.
Then we get the epic rampage and the put down of the surgeon rather rapidly.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. There was a no doubter. The moment he says, you know, I'm not letting you take her, he's just like, then you're dead.
Yeah, there's no one stopping.
I don't remember. Did he kill the nurses too?
No, he did not. Well, we don't see that. What we see is he tells them all to turn around. He picks Ellie up off of the gurney. And then the next thing that we see is they're in the basement heading to the truck.
I don't think he did.
I don't think he did either.
I don't think so either.
But, well, then we stand off with Marlene, and they have the big debate that video gamers have been on both sides of was Joel wrong or was Marlene wrong? Well, I guess we didn't write it down on paper, but by going around the room right now, which side of the fence are you gentlemen on? Was Joel in the wrong or was Marlene in the wrong?
I would say... They're both in the wrong. There is no right answer to this.
Yeah, there's not.
You're trying to save the world. If you let her live, you're not going to save the world. But if you kill her, you're also killing a human being. So it's both. In a way, it's both wrong. Well, but I would err on the side of keeping this girl alive.
Yeah, agreed. Because you don't.
So you're Team Joel.
Well, yeah, I'm Team Joel. And part of it is because we don't know. You know, there's no guarantee that being able to do this is going to save humanity. It is a theory. It's a possibility. Mm-hmm. There's this element. And here's the thing. We are talking about billions of people on the planet. So Ellie...
Not anymore.
Well, they were, you know, when Cordyceps first hit, you know, and going through that. So you cannot tell me that Ellie is the only child... on the planet that was born under those types of circumstances.
What if she has a kid?
Well, we don't know.
I know. I mean, I'm curious, and I'm Team Joel.
Yeah.
I think that was selfish to you know, do that for the world, save the world. But is the world worth saving? And two, they didn't even give Ellie a chance to decide.
Right.
And maybe she would have said, yes, do it. It has to have been worth it.
I thought he was going to ask her...
No.
Did you give her a chance?
No.
And he never asked.
No, well, they told her. They said, you know, she's, you know, it'll be silent and she'll never know. And, you know, we're not going to give her a chance. We're not going to let her out. And Joel knows if they would have asked her, she would have said yes.
Yeah. Well, wow. Well, there's still maybe a little bit more to discuss, but we've got to move on to more topics. But there's still, stay tuned. More of the Nerd Show coming up. Welcome back to the Nerd Show as we dissect the last episode.
I see what you did there.
Of Last of Us.
Let's get surgical.
Well.
Like a surgeon? Oh, we got to go out to that one. Little Weird Al Yankovic, like a surgeon.
we're discussing the big controversy of who was in the right and who was in the wrong. And gosh, I see where Joel was being very selfish. He finally has a reason to live again. Mm-hmm. She could have saved the world, but I'm with you with what we discussed last segment, Scott, of they had no idea what they were going on. They're going on a theory.
Yep.
And a theory that I just don't, you know, not any tests, not any, we can draw blood. I mean, Joel makes that connection of, Cordyceps is found in the brain.
The brain.
But why can't you just take a little sliver of brain instead of killing the only person you know of? To maybe save the world without, I don't even know if the Fireflies are the good guys. They were, I mean, Fedra wasn't great, but neither were Kathleen's people. And I don't know. Marlene is a tough gal. She hit hard with Joel of, I know better than anyone how important, you're probably the only person in the world who knows Ellie and the circumstances on how she got there. But they didn't give her a choice.
Well,
and I don't.
So two things. Something. Unfortunately, I know way more than I would like to in regards to your earlier comment about can they take a little sliver of brain? And the answer in that case, based on what they were dealing with, the answer is no. It would it would kill her, especially if it's living in the brain that, you know, controls motor functions or anything else like that, then the answer is absolutely not. It would kill her. And so there's that answer to that question. And then I'm still the idea that Ellie didn't get a choice. I think that's where the difficulty lies in. I think that's the bigger ponderous point of the whole thing, is that what would have happened if Ellie would have been given the choice? And I think we all know the answer to that. She would have sacrificed herself. And that's where the dilemma comes in for Joel, that he is not only saving her, but he's saving her from herself, because he knows that she would have given them permission to do it. And he doesn't feel like that possibility is worth it.
There's, then the big discussion of him lying to her.
That's the part I don't like. I'm not on Team Joel for that.
That is that. And I don't know what you do at that point.
Okay.
Because he's finally a parent again, and parents protect their children. But
I would have lied to her, too, because that's. Well, he's trying to protect her from a lot of things.
I know
she's
he is.
Already gone through a lot. Don't tell her, hey, they just tried to kill you.
Yeah.
Without you knowing.
Now, maybe at the end, at the very, 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 very end, he should have showed her. He should have told her the
right.
truth.
Yeah. When
but
they are...
initially.
Well, and she tells him what actually happened to Riley, trying, I think, to push Joel to be honest. Because I think we all know Ellie knew he wasn't being truthful.
Oh, yeah. She could tell it. And here's where I come from, and I say that I don't like that. I'm not on Team Joel's side for this, because we all know the possibility and the potential for that truth to come to light later. And it will cause more harm later than it would have in that moment.
I would not have lied the second time. And I know exactly that is going to happen. They are going to set it up. I don't know where they're going next. I assume they're going to, join some kind of Firefly group.
Now, they're going back to Jackson.
They're going back
to... They're not going to the Fireflies.
Yeah, they're going back
to Tommy.
Eventually, they'll join a Firefly-type group.
Oh, I don't know. I think that's a stretch, Micah. But I do think this is going to be the start of a fracture of their relationship. And I think that's hard, because she finally has somebody who didn't leave her. He finally has a reason to live again, and I think he's afraid that she would have made that choice and left her, and he wouldn't have a reason to live. But then I don't know. There's no good answer in what to do.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. The foundation of this next chapter of their lives is built on a lie.
I think this is such a fantastic one game to be able to tell a better story in a game than any other game that I've ever played or witnessed before. And even for TV, I mean, look at this controversy. But in a sense, I mean, it's beautiful. It's poetic. He found a reason to live. He fell in love with this kid again. She fell in love with him. It's in an apocalypse. It's a wonderful story. And we can be on the side of the fence of, was that Rockwell? You can see how and why he got there. Still isn't right, but you can see exactly what led up to that. It's powerful and it's painful. And Ellie's face of, I want to trust you. That was absolutely heartbreaking for Joel to lie. And I didn't think he would have done it.
Well,
I don't think I'm not surprised, but I am surprised that he couldn't be truthful.
I think it speaks volumes to the fact that we're having this conversation, and you could go down that path of an amazing story, great premise and everything else. And so I don't think we even need to go around the room and ask people their opinion. I think this one absolutely gets a stamp, double stamp, triple stamp at whatever you need to do.
Nerd Show stamp of approval.
Absolutely phenomenal.
Oh, so much. The growth. I mean, just those characters. Powerful.
Well, and I know we've only got a couple minutes left in the segment, but speaking of growth, we were talking about the latest episode of Bad Batch, and maybe we're seeing a little bit of growth out of Crosshair.
Yeah, this was the second episode this season that entirely focused on Crosshair, the good soldiers
follow orders.
And he is instructed to do some pretty horrible things with a really we're seeing a huge shift immediately too on how clones are being treated and talked to or talked at, I suppose.
Yeah.
Wow.
And Micah, you were saying something about you really liked it because you thought that it was a great story and it really built into his character.
Yeah, I could tell from the very beginning what that this was kind of the beginning of the end for his loyalty to the Empire. Just, you know, it, whether it was he had his helmet off or his helmet on, I loved the animation. Mm-hmm. You could just tell the way the motion of his body. He had plenty of doubts. And when, at the end, when he saved the very last clone from the very end of the facility, and the guy, the lieutenant who is finally in charge, yeah, who doesn't like clones, when that guy says, no, I'm not going to save him, and that clone dies, that's when Crosshair goes, okay, the Empire's not loyal to me, yet I have to work for them, mm-hmm, yet I have to follow their orders. No. Goes, shoots the guy. Yeah. I thought it was great.
I did too. I thought it was a great
episode. I'm Team Crosshair.
Yeah.
I think Crosshair really realized this episode and probably has been skeptical ever since he encountered Commander Cody, yeah, earlier on the season of, and this solidified it, of I had a squad. I was a part of a squad that had my back. We were a family. And maybe he was trying to manipulate his own mind into thinking the Empire was still that, and his squad mates, you know, weren't that anymore. But with what happened on Kamino and all the events of this season, I'm glad to have finally seen that shift. And it's sad it kind of took him that long. But what happens next?
Well, we'll see where it pans out. I could almost
see. He was arrested, right?
Yeah, he was arrested.
Taken to some facility.
And he was taken to the facility where they're holding you know, the doctor from Kamino that's working on the genetic experiments. And so I feel like that could get ugly. And
are they going to stick another chip in him and try to control him? Or are they just going to try to reclone him?
No, here's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping that word gets out about what happens and why Crosshair was arrested, and the Bad Batch come and save him.
Oh, you know that's going to happen.
I really hope.
There's going to be a clone uprising, though?
I do. I think that we're going to see it. It's probably going to get put down pretty severely, and we're not going to have a lot of clones survive it, but I think we are going to see the Bad Batch, hopefully not, and this sounds bad, I hope they don't all survive simply because I hate it when everybody walks out unscathed, mm-hmm, but I'd love to see them continue to move on, and then...
And Hunter will die.
I think Hunter's probably going to have to sacrifice himself for the squad.
Well, and remember, they're not in Rebels, and we have Cody and Rex.
And Gregor.
Yeah, so...
Well, they could have gone off someplace else, so...
True, but that was a great episode. The season's getting better and better.
Yeah.
We are going to review the latest episode of The Mandalorian right when we get back. Stay tuned.
Umika.
Welcome back to The Nerd Show. Poor surgeon didn't make it in The Last of Us.
Well, on my mind.
Who sings that?
Weird Al Yankovic.
You should let him keep doing it then.
Yeah, I know I should. But you and I have had some experiences with Weird Al, have we not?
We have.
Been
quite
on stage
a couple
with him.
Of them.
Yeah.
Ah, he's a neat dude. He's less weird out of performance.
He is.
That, you know, just kind of quiet and reserved. It's amazing. His stage presence is very different than his other personality,
yep,
of which is many with all his different skill sets and talents.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we just, not today, because we did not record live today when the latest episode of Mando came out, but last week's episode, boy, they're not wasting any time for Din to just be cleansed in the mines.
Well, and... Yeah, you know, I mean, come on, man. We can't forget about, you know, the other stuff. We had him go back to Tatooine.
Oh, I know, and see Pelly.
He sees Pelly, and I loved how we're seeing her character. You notice she still had her tooth missing.
She did.
She never got that replaced. And she literally was partnering with the Jawas to go out and strip speeders doing Boonta Eve, and then she was fixing them at a cost and then splitting the money with the Jawas. So I thought that was great.
That's wonderful. Is she dating one of them? Or is she done? Was the very furry thing from last year still relevant?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe she's dating one of the other ones, because we know that. But I'm still loving the fact that we have R5D4 now is back as part of this. And for those of
freshly
us who
cleaned too.
Yeah, well, it's kind of clean, but you know, for those of us who remember the stuff that's now legend, there was this whole story arc that R5D4 was a force sensitive droid and that he knew that R2 and 3PO were designed to help Luke, and he blew his own motivator in order to give R2-D2 the opportunity to stay with 3PO in order to be a part of Luke's rescue story. So there's a whole backstory about that that I love. And now we're seeing him again, and he's kind of a wimp. He's a little bit, you know, not really your very droid-like kind of thing.
No, but he doesn't seem like he's going to be blowing motivators anytime soon.
No, not at all. But great episode. And they do a great job with all the different elements. That creature that they had that captures Din Djarin when he gets down into the mines.
Oh, certainly.
Was really cool. I was trying to think if I've seen something like that before. I did a bunch of research, couldn't figure it out, couldn't find it. I have no idea where it's from, so it must be probably is an original idea, but love the way that happened. I love the action sequences with Bo-Katan. She kicked butt in that entire episode and just ruled it. And I'll be quiet for a minute because I just want to talk about the very last thing that we see in that episode, because that was so cool.
Yeah, it was amazing. Well, you know, he comes back to Mandalore just to see if it's toxic or not, and R5's kind of a wimp. Gets captured, but then and Grogu comes out and saves him. I mean, those creatures he fought, he's still fighting that dark saber. I mean, granted, I saw a great meme of why is this dark saber so heavy? It's because he's the weight of the entire Star Wars franchise is in it. But, you know, he's still clearly struggling, which I thought set up a really cool moment later on in the episode. Well, Grogu comes out to help Din, and he can't. It's the first time he can't get out, and instead of any, he's go get Bo-Katan, and Grogu does. And I love all those that talking. Here's your navigation. Here's the moon that you know, we saw Bo-Katan on. Grogu's picking up some stuff, and he'd even tell an R5, "Hey, let's get going." And Bo is angry. Oh, we have an unscheduled visitor, and she's ready to rip his head off. And then you can see the genuine concern of what happened.
Yeah.
And then she comes back and she kicks butt and takes names. But look at her wield that darksaber.
She owns it.
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely. And I'm...
Well, wait. Isn't it still hers?
No.
So it's not hers.
No, it was taken from her. And she didn't get it. She did not come to possess it appropriately. And that's been the whole big issue with it. That in Rebels... and oh my gosh. Sabine Wren, who was a Mandalorian, had recovered the darksaber, and I don't remember how she got it, but she gets it, and then she gifts it to Bo-Katan so she can lead the Mandalorians. Well, in the Mandalore creed, the only way that you can wield and lead the Mandalorians is you have to win the darksaber in combat, and which is why at the end of season 2, she's saying, you know, Moff Gideon's mine, because she wants to go and beat him and defeat him, and then she can take the saber. And because Din does it, Din is now, you know, apparently able to lead Mandalore, and she has no authority. They look at her and laugh, and she knows that she cannot accept and have the darksaber again unless she actually wins it in combat, which means she'll have to beat Din Djarin up for it. So
when I was curious,
I hope they don't fall in love.
If in the creed that he, since she saved him with it, that might give that over there. And I was skeptical that she'd give it back. Well, she did. Din's rescued, and he is at the foot of the mines.
And they finally get to the living waters. And I love how she's being so sarcastic as she's reading the little things about, you know, in the living waters and made friends with the mythosaur and blah, 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 blah.
And wow, what a foreshadow that was. And Mando's going down the same words that we just saw in the last episode of that that foundling about to be inducted into the latest clan. And he gets down to that last step, and it was like the Dianoga scene in the Death Star just disappears, just like Luke did. And Bo, again, doesn't hesitate to go help and to save him. And then we see it. Yeah. We see it.
And Mike, are you understanding what we're talking about, what we see?
No.
We see an actual mythosaur. So that the eye of that creature, as Bo is coming up through the living waters and sees the mythosaur and looks at it, and then it swims away, I think has an opportunity to completely shift her mindset altogether, because the whole...
Oh, that thing's just a myth.
I see what you did there. But that was the whole foundation around how they came to be and how the mythosaur was their symbol, and they did all that. And it's like she just got exposed to what she thought was fantasy. She thought it was just made up to control the Mandalorians. And it's like, maybe it's not. So I have a feeling we could see some things change over the next several episodes around that.
Oh, sure. Because they used to ride them into battle against, was it the Jedi? When they were fighting the Jedi, or was it
I would have to go back. I don't remember the old public lore that much.
But it was old, you know, yes. Pre Vizsla, like 1,000 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
So, mm-hmm. You know, this isn't recent. Wow. That was fantastic to see. Again, they're bringing this in so early on the season, which means I think they're speeding things up to have a really active and engaging – I mean, it's moving quickly. What the heck happens, you know, this week – for the debrief between her and Din, you know, what happens next? I'm skeptical. I don't know. Scott, any ideas?
I have no idea where they're going with it. I love what they're doing, and I'm just every episode, I feel like we are getting spoiled with great pop culture stuff right now. It is just, it's all good. Bum, Last of Us is over, but I'm glad that we still have things to watch.
We absolutely do. So much
to look
forward
to. I mean, we have Picard to watch.
We do have Picard. I got to catch up.
Mike is going to talk about that in our bonus segment, so visit us online, 1310kfka.com, to get more bonus of The Nerd Show. Otherwise, thanks for tuning in. You all stay nerdy.